Buckle up, folks. Could the UEFA Champions League, with its billion-dollar matches, be the most thrilling or the most corrupt sporting event on earth?
I'm Vixie Steele, and today I'm feeling bloody curious. Hard riffs, hard truths, no corporate ass-kissing. Let's get into it.
Okay, here's something worth talking about. The UEFA Champions League. Europe's top club competition, born in 1955 as the European Champion Clubs Cup, rebranded in 1992 with a shiny anthem and a global TV makeover. What started as Champions Only is now a sprawling machine. You qualify through your national league, there are qualifying rounds, a playoff funnel, and then the big show. Since 2024-25, they've run a Swiss-style league phase. 36 teams. Each plays 8 different opponents, 4 home, 4 away. One giant table. The top 8 go straight to the round of 16. Those ranked 9 to 24 scrap in playoffs to join them. 25 to 36, thanks for coming. It looks simple on a graphic, but listen. The seeding pots, the curated opponent lists, the coefficient math. Honestly, mate, it's like trying to read tax law during a hangover.
The stakes. Massive. It's the most watched club competition on the planet. Finals in late May or early June at cathedrals like Wembley or San Siro. Win it, and you punch tickets to next season's Champions League, the UEFA Super Cup, FIFA's Intercontinental Cup, and their Club World Cup circus. The anthem hits, the starball flag drops, and even the cynics feel a shiver. I mean, I swear, that ritual is engineered to hack your spine.
Now respect where it's due. This whole thing exists because a stubborn French journalist, Gabriel Hanno of L'Equipe, saw South America's Championship of Champions back in 1948 and said, Europe needs this. He and Jacques Ferrand banged on doors until UEFA finally greenlit a proper Champions tournament in 1955. Before that, you had the Mitropa Cup in Central Europe, Wolves doing World Tour friendlies, and Stan Cullis bragging they were champions of the world. It was chaos. It was ego. It was glorious. Hanno turned all that noise into a blueprint. First season, 1955-56. Real Madrid beat Reims in a wild 4-3 final. The first ever European Cup goal? João Baptista Martins for Sporting in a 3-3 with Partizan. Then Madrid ripped off 5 straight, like a band playing the same encore because the crowd keeps begging. Later dynasties followed. Ajax with Cruyff, Bayern with Beckenbauer, Liverpool battering Europe in the late 70s and early 80s. Then the rebrand in 92. Tony Britton reworks Handel into that anthem, recorded by the Royal Philharmonic, and boom, it becomes global theatre. Fast forward, Real Madrid sit on 15 titles like a dragon on gold. Spanish clubs lead the trophy count. England has the widest spread of different winners. Bayern's 2019-20 run won every match 11-for-11. And recently, Paris Saint-Germain broke through, then did it again. Back-to-back titles. First French club ever to retain. First repeat champs since Madrid's 2016-2018 three-peat. That's history, like it or not. But here's the big question that makes UEFA suits twitch. Is this format basically a velvet rope for the rich? Look, since the 1992 rebrand, only Ajax and Porto from outside the Big Five leagues have even reached a final. That's it. Ajax won in 95, runners-up in 96, Porto won in 04. Everyone else at the party is Spain, England, Italy, Germany, France. A coincidence or a system doing exactly what it was designed to do? More slots go to the richest leagues by default. From 2024-25, the top 5 associations each get 4 places, plus performance-based spots if a nation crushes it across competitions. Bologna and Borussia Dortmund grabbing spots in 2024 proved the door can slide open, but mostly for countries already sitting at the VIP table. Add in broadcast billions and prize money stacking year after year, and you've basically got a financial exoskeleton around the same dozen clubs. Then there's the Swiss-style league phase. 8 curated opponents from seeded pots. It boosts marquee matchups, yes. It also lowers the randomness that used to give smaller clubs a fighting chance to ride momentum out of a group. Now you're more likely to meet a steady stream of elite or near elite sides, while the money clubs keep deeper benches and better recovery science. It's not illegal, it's just structurally tilted. Like a casino with nice lighting and complimentary Prosecco.
And yeah, before some lad in the comments screams, cry more, upsets still happen, that's football. But look at the long arc. Concentration at the top tracks perfectly with the TV cache and access lists. The system isn't trying to kill magic, it's trying to domesticate it, house train it, put it on prime time midweek, sell it to 100 territories and keep the same marquee names on every poster. That's society for you.
If you disagree, drop a comment below. Convince me I'm wrong. Show me the road back for the Romanian champ, the Swiss champ, the Serbian champ. I'll gladly eat my words on air. Hell, I'll frame them.
Speaking of the anthem, personal note. I went to a Champions League night in Paris and the anthem hit. The Royal Philharmonic recording swelled, the Starball flag unfurled, the whole ground standing still. That chorus, with English, German, French, Die Meister, Die Besten, Les Grandes Équipes, the champions. I got goosebumps. Me, the one who trashes overpriced coffee and TikTok dances. For 90 seconds, I bought the dream completely.
The lights flickered, pyro popped, and the players stared straight ahead like soldiers on a runway. Cameras gliding, LED hoardings rotating through sponsors faster than your attention span. I'm yelling, strangers hugging, and I'm thinking, this is the good shit right here. It's theatre, it's ritual, it's religion with turnstiles. Even the concourse smelled different, not beer and smoke, but money and management.
And then halftime, 20 minutes of being milked.
QR codes chasing your eyeballs, 5 different price tiers for the same watery lager, kids filming vertical videos of the bloody nacho stand like it's the Sistine Chapel.
I love the game. I hate the feeling that the game clocks me like a walking wallet. I don't make the rules, but I do enforce them. If it's great, I'll say so. If it stinks, I'll say that louder.
So here's where I land. The Champions League is both things at once. It's the most thrilling ride in club football, and it's a machine that grinds fairness under branding. It gives us Celtic's Lisbon Lions in the memory banks and Real Madrid's 15 as a monolith. It crowns PSG back to back and still leaves most of Europe's champions watching from the cheap seats. Beautiful and brutal, electrifying and, yeah, a bit rigged by money.
Listen, I'm not saying burn it down, I'm saying fix the tilt. Spread revenue smarter, stop padding the draw for TV dreams. Keep pathways real for champions, not just top 4 regulars. Otherwise, we'll keep pretending unpredictability lives here when it's being chaperoned like a drunk at closing time.
Because the moment that anthem plays, I'm in. And that's what terrifies me.
They've bottled wonder and sold it back to us. It's magic with a price tag, and I keep paying. Jesus Christ, I hate how much I love it. Fuck it. I love it anyway. Moving on before I break something. Yeah, no, I know I'm part of the problem. We all are. But calling it out matters. If you've got a better way to balance the scales, say it. If you think I'm wrong, say that too. Just don't come at me with fairy tales about level playing fields while the cash cannon is blasting midfield. That's bloody insulting.
Alright, that's all I got. Go do something useful and come back tomorrow for more truth bombs. And UEFA, if you're listening, fix the format, fix the money, or at least have the guts to admit the game's not fair. Until then, I'll be in the stands singing along and swearing about it. Fucking hell.